Hey, it's Scott Petrak with another episode of the Browns Zone Coverage Podcast. The preseason finale for the Browns is Saturday in Kansas City, and the regular season will be here before you know it. Here to discuss all things Browns, as always, is Dave Chudowski of GO, the WKYC Morning News. How you doing, Chud?
Scott, I'm doing well. Fresh off of vacation. Got back to work this week, so that's why it's been 2 weeks since we've done one of these, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm glad you were able to get away.
That's on me. That's on me.
You deserved it. Looked like fun. I followed you on Instagram. Looked like fun.
Oh, it was. Yeah. I did a little, went down to Florida and Nashville. Boy, Nashville, man, what a place that is. I can see now why that place was hopping and buzzing for the draft when it was there. That city is on fire.
It's blown up. So I used to go there, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. And it felt like you could go for a weekend and it was quiet, not quiet, but not insane. And then, I don't know, the last time I was there 3 years ago, maybe. And it was insane, and it's only gotten crazier. So, yeah, it's a place to be.
It is. And so, you know, there's a lot of cities I've been to maybe 6, 10 times, right? Like a bunch of times, like a Chicago, Las Vegas, you know, there, Boston. There's places I've been many times. I'd never been to Nashville, and my daughter wanted to go there. She's just turned 11 for her birthday. She wanted to go see music, and she plays the guitar, and my wife and I had never been there, so we planned a couple days, and I was blown away by it. Like, you hear everyone talk about how great it is. It was even better than I thought. I didn't know there was a place this close to home that's kind of like Vegas, where it's just hopping at all hours of the day.
Yeah, well, it's always been a great place to see music, but the Vegas part feels new. Like, it wasn't always like that. At least that's been my experience, but now it is. Like, it's a place for bachelor parties, bachelorette parties. There's always something going on. It's really crazy. It's hard to find a hotel room these days too.
Yeah, no doubt. So anyway, back home to all these storms and everything, which obviously cost the fans some practice time. So really the fans didn't get to see that much of training camp. And since we've established that we haven't done this in a couple weeks and that it's my fault, 10-yard penalty on me, we can go backwards and catch up on some stuff, but I think we need to start with the fresh things. And boy, were you surprised by that trade yesterday? Is they trade away Dobbs to Arizona for a fifth round pick?
Yeah, I was, for a couple reasons, Chud. First of all, you don't have any experience now behind Deshaun Watson. And we could argue whether or not that's necessary. If you're spending $230 million on a quarterback, if he gets hurt, you're probably going to struggle no matter who's the backup. And it's not like Josh Dobbs is Jacoby Brissett, right? Or even Case Keenum, guys that have started a lot in the league. Dobbs had never started until the last two games of last season with the Titans. So, you know, there's a philosophy out there, hey, if you lose your starter for long enough, you're probably going to be done in anyway. Having said that, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, right, is a rookie. If they keep Kellen Mond as a number three, which I don't know if they will or not, right? They were willing to waive him yesterday until they yanked him back off waivers when the Dobbs trade happened. You know, Mond hasn't played. So maybe they go get a guy. You know, the cutdown day is Tuesday. There's going to be plenty of roster movement. Maybe they find a guy that's older, has played. They can add him to the room, give some experience there. So I'm not sure it's a finished product, but we know that Thompson Robinson's going to be the number two. That's the plan. So I think it speaks to how well he played during the preseason, and he's played really well. I think the Browns always envisioned him being the backup to Watson, just not this year. But he played well enough. They got an offer for Dobbs where they move up from the seventh round to the fifth round. And for whatever reason, they thought that was enough, right? We like this kid. We like Thompson Robinson enough. We improve our draft position. And they said, okay. The other, you know, kind of what caught me off guard was we talked to Kevin Stefanski at, I don't know, 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, 12:30. And he said that Dobbs was the number two, right? Which sometimes he would kind of keep that guarded and, hey, we're not talking about that yet, right? We're not done with the preseason. But he was open about that. And then for him to be traded a few hours later added to the surprise factor.
Well, was Stefanski, do you think he was in on it? Like, I mean, maybe that's a dumb question, but I guess the reason I'm asking this is everyone on the same page? Like, did Stefanski know and he just had to do that because that's what you do? You're not going to show your cards at that time? Or do you think maybe this kind of came out of nowhere after the time that he spoke with the media?
I think it's a good question, Chud. I think the trade came out of nowhere. And the reason I say that is the Browns waived Kellen Mond in the morning, and they announced that they had waived him. And then when the Dobbs trade happened, they pulled him back off waivers. So there was no need to waive Mond. Like, I don't think that was any kind of subterfuge. I think they thought they had their quarterback room set. They're going to Kansas City. Get Mond on waivers early. Maybe it helps him land somewhere else, right? You get him a few days before the cutdown on Tuesday. And then it feels to me, and I don't know this for a fact, it just feels to me that the Dobbs trade came out of nowhere. And that's why Stefanski's comments, like, I don't think his comments were trying to mislead anyone. I think he thought that's what the quarterback room was. And then all of a sudden, it's not the quarterback room because, and, you know, it may seem silly, but I think it's because they wanted that fifth round draft pick. They save a little bit of money. You know, Dobbs is going to make $2 million. Thompson Robinson's on the rookie, on a rookie salary. And they thought Thompson Robinson had done well enough. But it's certainly an interesting move. And, you know, I was getting texts last night. You know, and I said, not that Dobbs is super experienced, but he is 28. He's been in the league for 5 or 6 years. Been with the Steelers, been with the Browns, been with the Titans. Unless they go out and get an experienced guy to be in that room, I think you are missing something going from the experience of Dobbs to a rookie in DTR.
You already broke it down, so I don't need you to really give an explanation, but just bottom line it for me. Do you like the fact that they got a fifth round pick for him? Like, is that enough? Are you surprised they got that in that?
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
Yeah, I would say no real quick. Short answer, no. They'll tell you that the fifth round picks are a crapshoot, right? Like more of a crapshoot than anything else in the draft, right? When you first round's always a crapshoot, the later you get, it's, you know, the chance of hitting on a guy just mathematically are way smaller. So I would say no from the draft pick standpoint, but I understand if the Browns think the DTR is just as good as Dobbs, you can make that argument.
All right, let's look to tomorrow. We're taping this on Friday. Final preseason game. Browns are 1-1-1. Take on the Chiefs. What are you looking for tomorrow? Starters are going to play. What, about like 20, 25 plays?
Yeah, that's the plan. You know, I don't think we're not going to see every starter. You know, I don't think Nick Chubb's going to play. Garrett, probably Denzel Ward, Amari Cooper, Joe Bitonio. But we're going to see Deshaun Watson. We think we'll probably see Elijah Moore. I think we'll see, a fair amount, a majority of starters, which adds something to the game, certainly. It'll be their most repetitions of the preseason. Whether or not the Chiefs play their starters remains to be seen, and Andy Reid didn't commit to it. But if you get a matchup with the Chiefs starters, you know, that's good, you know, like they like to say, good work. But the number one thing I'm watching, Chud, is Cade York. And I know we didn't do this last week, but we talked about Cade York 2 weeks ago when we did this.
He's on the list.
Right? I mean, it's huge for him. Like, if he goes 0-2, I don't know how they go into week one with him as your kicker. And I feel like they want him to be the kicker. They haven't made a change yet. Stefanski's been unwavering in his public support. I think the default for them in the hope is that he figures it out and he gets to week one and then he just gets better as the season goes on, right? This is a hiccup in this long progression, his long story in Cleveland, because he's got a ton of potential, a huge leg, and they love him. But if you already missed four kicks in the preseason and you missed two more and you got a huge game to open the season against a rival in division and you play three or four, or you play all three division rivals in the first 4 weeks, I don't know how you can trust him to be the week one kicker. So I think this is big. And if he makes a couple, maybe things calm down and they can convince themselves and everyone else it's okay to have him be the guy week one. But if he misses, especially multiple kicks, I think you might have to make a move.
Yeah. I mean, I was on vacation and I sent out, I think, one tweet. You know, I do stuff on other social media, like for fun, but on Twitter's almost like work to me.
Yeah. I get it.
I sent out one tweet the whole week, and it was about Cade York. I mean, that's how, like, everyone's talking about this right now. And you have to think, Scott, I mean, if it continues on, it gets in his head, too.
Well, yeah, that's – and he says he's confident, and they say he's confident, but you don't know that. And the kicker, right. The kicker job is so much mental, right? And it reminds me of golf, and I've talked to Cade about that, where the ball's just sitting there, and you got to go hit it. And it's not a reactionary thing. It's in your head, right? How many swing thoughts do you have? What are you thinking about as you approach the ball? So, yeah, the more kicks you miss, the tougher it is to have that confidence, the tougher it is to bounce back. And, yeah, there's a danger there that it gets away from you. And that's, I think, that's something certainly to watch. Now, you don't want to give up on a guy too early, right? Like, that's what the Browns are fighting here. But when each game is so important, you expect these games to be so close. You got 52 other guys to worry about. You got a huge payroll. Can you let it go? Can you let it hang in the balance on a kicker that's struggling? And that's the question.
Yeah. Hey, you know, if you're not going to play Chubb and Garrett and a couple other guys, why play Watson? I mean, what if – I mean, isn't he the most important guy on the team? Like, if something happens to him.
Yeah, that's – I mean, that's a valid point, Chud. I think the answer is – I guess the answer is you feel like he needs those reps more than the other guys I mentioned. And I think it's that simple, is he hasn't played in forever. In a normal year, maybe you don't play Deshaun Watson, but, right, we all know he didn't play for 2 years. He struggled in those six starts last year. And I get the argument. If you want to say, hey, these 20 snaps don't matter, I get that argument. And you're better off getting him to the regular season healthy. I understand that. But I think the thought is, get him some reps. Get him some game reps. He wants those reps. And, you know, if he gets hurt, that's the cost of doing business. It's the NFL. But there's going to be more value in those 20 to 25 reps than the risk of him getting hurt.
I'm not going to lie and say that I was completely glued into those practices in Philadelphia, but for what I did see, and verify this for me, and this goes back to us a single week here, struggled in second practice against Philadelphia overall. Did the offense not look good against Philly?
Yeah, you know, I was not there, but I've talked to a bunch of people who were, and that's the scouting report. The Browns more than held their own day one in Philly, especially the defensive line. Day two, Philly came out energized, got the best of the Browns. Watson threw a couple interceptions. Now, he pushed back on that, saying, hey, you guys don't always know the situation. It's end of game. It's fourth down. I got to try to make a play. You know, I don't love the fact that he kind of responded on social media to a Philly reporter, you know, called LOL when he was talking about his struggles. Like, feels like your quarterback should be above that to me a little bit. But, yeah, it was – he struggled in – and, Chad, I can speak from – I've watched every other practice, right, but those two in Philly, seen all the game or the one game he played. He's had an up-and-down training camp. Like, that's – I think that's fair to say. There have been really positive moments, and he had one Wednesday. He threw a bunch of deep balls, and they were in the field house, bunch of deep ball touchdowns, and there had been some talk about, hey, they're not going deep at all. He did it. He made at least three really good deep throws, which is good for a practice, right? To practice for 90 minutes, he threw at least three deep touchdowns. That's a good percentage. And there have been other days where he's really sharp in the red zone. And, you know, the offense can't be stopped inside the red zone. But then there's days where the defense wins. And there's been a lot of those days. The pass rush has gotten to him, which isn't his fault, but it affects things. There's been days where he felt a bit slow going through his progressions, right? Doesn't quite get to the read he needs to get to. So it hasn't been completely smooth. Having said that, I think there's enough positives to feel optimistic if you want to. And I think the team is. Like, I really get the genuine sense that the players, coaches, organization feel good about where he is. And I think it's safe to say he's way ahead of where he was last year, you know, when he was getting all those reps early in training camp. There's a big progression. Now it's, can he take that next step into the regular season? Does he make the plays when it counts? Does the offense look a lot different and free him up? And because Stefanski's been keeping stuff vanilla during the preseason. So I think there's reason to be optimistic if you're a fan. I just don't think it's guaranteed that he's going to come out and be who he was in 2020. I think that's still a question that needs to be answered, and it's the question facing this team.
So this has been your Deshaun Watson update, brought to you by everyone's favorite breakfast cereal, Tracks Pebbles. And to finish up on Watson, got some headlines a little bit with talking about, you know, him. He's not worried about where he ranks as quarterbacks in the NFL, right? And he feels like he still has, you know, a lot to prove.
Yeah, it's interesting because he kind of went back and forth in that one interview, whether or not he was didn't care about it or he did care about it, right? Like, not about that, but when we talked about that Philly criticism, he did say that that motivated him. But then earlier he said he was all self-motivated and self-driven and, you know, playing in the AFC North doesn't – against those quarterbacks doesn't motivate him. I asked him about, hey, you're not in the discussion anymore when people talk about the top quarterbacks. He's just not. And I said, does that motivate you? And he said, no. He said, I shouldn't be there. I haven't played in 2 years. And when I did play, I didn't play that well. I'm paraphrasing. He goes, those rankings change every year. I have to prove that I belong back there. And I think that's the right answer. And I think that's how he needs to be thinking. So, yes, I hope that's how he thinks, right? From a Browns perspective, that's the best way to think. I'm not sure I believe completely that he's not motivated by that kind of thing, right? There is a lot of ego involved in professional sports in playing quarterback. So I think that's an interesting thing, and I think it's interesting that he said that. My biggest takeaway, Chud, that was a big one. And then the other part of from his interview was just him talking about the ownership he has in the offense. And if whoever's watching the game in Philly, he was on the sideline. He talked to Aditi Kinkabala on the sideline during the game. And he made a comment about how the offense used to be all about Nick Chubb, but running backs have wear and tear. And now it's, you know, now he's taking over the offense, right? Something along those lines. So I followed up with that. And he said, yeah, he feels like this is his offense. And it's just interesting because we've talked so much about how this offense is going to evolve this season. And he's not being shy about that at all. Now, I can't wait to see what that looks like week one and week two and, you know, the whole season and how it has changed. Assuming it has changed, and I really do believe it'll change a significant amount. But there, it sounds like, and he wants that responsibility, the Browns are putting the offense is in his hands, and it's going to be up to him to deliver and to play like a top quarterback so this team can contend like it thinks it can.
So the last couple of days, the rain played a factor, but now you're after this game. I mean, you know, training camp's over for fans. How do you feel overall the camp went? Definitely was different, unlike any other camp we've really seen.
Yeah. I mean, just from a scheduling standpoint, right, starts in Greenbrier, 8 practices down there, only 6 practices wind up being open to fans in Berea because the last 2 got rained out and moved inside the field house. 2 practices in Philly. So it was a different rhythm. It was longer, right, because he added the Hall of Fame game, right? So that added a week of practice, adds a preseason game. So it had a different flow to it. But you know, I thought they got a lot accomplished. You know, it's a long time. They had a lot of practices. There weren't a ton of hard physical practices, but that's how Kevin Stefanski runs it. So, you know, I think they got a lot accomplished. I think you saw some rookies emerge. You saw hints of, you know, like Elijah Moore is going to be used a lot, right? Like there were some big takeaways from the preseason. And, you know, Browns fans can knock on wood for the most part. They've come out of it healthy to this point. Now there's been some guys out, but for the most part, they've avoided serious injury.
Where do we stand injury wise right now?
Yeah. You know, Isaiah Thomas and Alex Wright are still coming back from those knee surgeries. Jerome Ford is still out. They're hopeful that he can be ready week one. They haven't said like they're guaranteed he's going to be back week one coming off the hamstring. Harrison Bryant, the tight end, remains out with an undisclosed medical condition. He's on the side working, but there's some ambiguity there. So it's going to be interesting, Chud, because this roster has to be – they have to be down to 53 by Tuesday at 4 o'clock. So I assume a guy like Alex Wright will make the 53 and then go on injured reserve. But he's got to take up a spot on the 53 so you can bring him back off injured reserve, right? If he starts the season on injured reserve, then he misses the whole year. So how many roster spots do you have to use for injured guys? I'm assuming Alex Wright will be one of those. What happens, you know, with Jakeem Grant? Is he ready coming off the Achilles? Like, there's a lot of moving pieces when it comes to the roster.
Yeah. All right, rapid fire is as quick as you can make it.
Okay.
All right, let's go quickly here. You brought up the roster. Any surprises that you see coming?
It's a great question. Here's a couple guys to watch out for. I know fans have been paying attention to him already. Receiver Austin Watkins Jr. I think he makes the roster, but he could be a practice squad guy if they keep Jakeem Grant Sr. is the dedicated returner. I'm just not sure they will keep him. Grant's going to play against the Chiefs, so we'll see how his recovery from Achilles is. You know, he ruptured that Achilles last year in camp. Mahmoud Diabate, linebacker, really has shown up. Undrafted rookie, like him, may win a spot, maybe try to get him to the practice squad. He's a guy to keep an eye on. And then from a surprise factor, Chud, Jordan Elliott, the D tackle, he's been a starter like throughout camp, but the way they've been using him in the preseason is weird. Playing way more than other starters, played in the Hall of Fame game when nobody else did. Feels like they want to trade him if they can get anything for him. I'm not convinced he's on the roster Tuesday.
Camp standout.
Oh, man. Austin Watkins, I just mentioned him. He's been great. From day one at the Greenbrier stood out. Elijah Moore, the receiver, just the way they're using him. I'm convinced that he's going to have a big impact on this offense. Martin Emerson Jr. has been good at corner. And you know what? I got to say, I know everybody expects this, but Myles Garrett has dominated. And I don't think that's necessarily just Jed Wills being bad. I think it's Myles Garrett being so good.
Camp disappointment.
You know, Anthony Schwartz, I don't know if we expected a lot from him, but he's hurt again. He's been hurt a couple times, had drops. You know, he's working hard, and I feel bad. And he's a good kid, and he's got mental health issues, but he just hasn't been able to make a run at this roster and is not going to make the team.
What do you think about Clowney to the Ravens?
Interesting, huh? And, you know, my thought on that, Chud, is first of all, the Browns are going to see him twice. Second of all, the Ravens, like, I love how they run their franchise. They've been great. They're consistently good. It feels weird decisions to me to go with Odell Beckham Jr. and Jadeveon Clowney. Both guys quit on the Browns in the last 2 years, and yet you're trusting them to help you be a contender, and that's the goal for the Ravens. I don't know if I would have gone all in on those two guys.
Yeah. Couple restructured contracts for the Browns.
Yeah, I think the time is a little interesting. I don't think this is a move to clear a bunch of space so they can make a big trade. Now, it doesn't mean they can't, and they certainly could do that. But I've been told, and I think it's more just you clear up this space, you pay a bunch of cash early, right? It's all about paying cash now as opposed to stretching out over the season. Your owner's willing to do that. It saves space, and then you can roll over the extra, like it's $38 million around there. If you keep all of that, or even most of it, you can roll that over to 2024, which is huge because the Browns are going to be up against the cap for the next few years with Watson's contract, Garrett's contract, all those contracts. They need as much space as they can get, and this is a creative way to free up a big chunk of cap space.
All right, that's it for me, unless you got anything else. I think it's Kansas City. Kansas City, here we come.
Yeah, no, I think we hit it. I'm glad. I know you're dealing with some power outage issues. I got some stuff to do on this Friday, so I'm glad we were able to get this in. Give some people to listen to before the game. 1 o'clock kick Saturday in Kansas City. So thanks for doing this, Chud. Glad you made it back from vacation. And we'll do it next week. We'll do it after the cuts. We'll talk about the roster. And then, like I said, before you know it, that opener against Cincinnati will be here.
That's right. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, guys. It's another episode of the Brown Zone Coverage Podcast. And you can get all my work at brownzone.com. Thanks.